From New York City, the world-famous Comedy Cellar presents Live from America Podcast. Live from America Podcast. With Noam Dorman and Hatem Gabber. Live from America Podcast. Where the top experts in the world and the best comics in the nation get together weekly to discuss today's issues as they cover news, culture, politics, comedy, and more. With an equal part of knowledge and comedy. And now, here are your hosts, Hatem Gabber and Noam Dorman.
Listen, come on.
We have two amazing guests. One is late as usual, Kurt Metzger, and one of my favorite comedian on and off the field from the Jimmy Dore show, Mr. Jimmy Dore himself. And wow. Kurt Metzger is late. Kurt is so funny.
Thanks for having me. Kurt is there. This is part of his comedy by showing up late. It's funny.
You know, not only that, like, he'll call me a day before. He's like, oh, hey, I'm online. Nobody's here. I was like, it's Tuesday. We are on Sunday. Like, he does that all the time. I was like, Kurt, what are you doing? So I literally had to remind him three times yesterday and remind him it's LA time versus New York time. And, you know, but he's going to be here. And he's,
I don't know if there's a neurological explanation which can be generalized to, you know, to the human race, but this is not unusual to kind of people who have genius qualities in one aspect of their personality, in my experience, to have totally dysfunctional, executive function abilities or whatever it is. Jim Norton, forgive me, Jimmy, is a little bit like that also, you know, will lose track of the days and the time, whatever it is.
But that never happens to me.
Fair enough.
I'm always on top of my time and days. So, Jimmy, how you been?
I've had that happen where I showed up to clubs a day late. I was supposed to be there a day earlier, stuff like that. I've done that.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Mm-hmm, right, so, yeah. What's on the agenda, Hot Tip?
All right, let's start with first thing. This is personal for me, okay, guys, and I can't wait to get your opinion on it. So, the governor of New York remarks about Salman Rushdie was attacked couple of days ago. For those who don't know, back in the 80s, he released a book called Satanic Verses. And that's when the first time you guys heard the word fatwa. And that's when Khomeini said fatwa in Islam back in the day was when you give an opinion about something. So he said that this guy should be killed. And he's been in protective custody for a long time. So he was in New York a couple of days ago and he got somebody rushed on the stage and he stabbed him. And obviously, this is, very bad. You know, we against like violence and all that. But this is what I didn't like. Okay. So the governor's comment, her remarks about what happened. So she says, today's attack on Salman Rushdie was an attack on some of our most sacred values, the free expression of thoughts. Great. No problem. We all condemn violence. Absolutely. And then we stand up attack on our fundamental rights. And we remain firm in our commitment to freedom to speak and to write the truth. Now, that is, and in her video, you know, she said a guy who speaks the truth. And that's, I don't think she should say that. What do you guys think? You don't think, like.
Let me add to your point there. Not that I agree with it necessarily, but she also said he spoke truth to power.
Yes.
So that I, you know, that's where you're coming from. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Speaking, I'll tell you a funny story about a truth to power. Jimmy, as you know, in this show, having Noam as a host is amazing and horrible at the same time. Because if I say one word wrong, he will make fun of me. So yesterday, when I first heard that her comment, or 2 days ago, I called a friend of mine. It's like, listen, I'm really, really pissed off. And I want to talk about this in the podcast. Well, what does truth to power means first? You know, so explain it to me. So no one doesn't make fun of me when I say it. And now that I know. So thank you, Heather, for your help. So what do you think, Jimmy?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
So it just seems curious to me. First of all, I haven't read Salman Rushdie's books. Right. So, but I know that he offended the Muslim religion with satanic verses. And mm-hmm. ever since then, there's been a fatwa on him. And I think that's real. I think that people are trying to kill him. And I think this really happened. My question is, Was this person, was this another one of those Michigan, we're going to go, did the FBI instigate this guy to do this? Because they did it in Texas not long ago. They, in Michigan, we had 9 FBI agents in a van with 2 guys going to kidnap the, you know what I mean? So the timing of this, because if you look at the former John Bolton, right, he just came out and said that Iran has a hit out on him, right? And at the same time, this happens. And I'm just saying, to me, is it are these connected? Is that am I being too conspiratorial to think like this? But certainly it is. And if I can think it, the CIA already has a plan for it. So I don't it doesn't matter if he's speaking truth or not. You shouldn't stab somebody for being wrong or speaking.
No, absolutely. It's not my point. My point is the governor should not say that. She's offending a lot. Of course, everybody's against. Nobody should be stabbed or attacked or even canceled or whatever for what he say. But why would a governor, a politician that represent every New Yorker, including Muslims, to say that?
Let me tell you. And so I'll take this one at a time. I don't know if Jimmy finished his point. Anything else you wanted to say, Jimmy, on that?
Well, I'll just say, yeah, I agree. She didn't have to say that he was speaking truth to power when he's speaking controversial things to certain people, especially big swaths of religions. All she had to do was say, "You, this is we honor free speech, whether you agree with it or not."
Absolutely,
So my feeling on the governor is that if you could fill her with sodium pentothal and ask her questions about Salman Rushdie, she'd have no friggin' idea about anything he said or what. I think these are just cliches that she's uttering about speaking truth to power or whatever it is. I doubt very much she meant it, at least in terms of the satanic verses. She might have meant it in terms of his more recent speaking that he's done about the importance of free speech and things like that. Because I heard him speak at some event like 3-4 years ago, and he spoke about the importance of an open society. So that. She, you know, I think I'm being too generous to her. That could have been what she was referring to. But then, of course, that's not why he got stabbed, presuming that he got stabbed because of the fatwa type thing and not a government conspiracy. So, I mean, I would give her a break on that. I don't think she meant anything.
But that's my point. Politicians being stupid. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you're supposed to be aware of what's going on, you know, who you offended. You can't say stuff like that. I mean, if that was against the Jews or Christian, or like you will find, and speaking of Jews and Christians, Kurt Metzger is here with the tree.
What are you guys fighting about?
We're talking about the Salman Rushdie. The Salman Rushdie, how the governor.
I think it's pronounced Salmon. Salmon Rushdie. You sound really ignorant right now saying Salmon.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
We got stabbed.
Yeah, and that the governor's remarks that he was speaking the truth, he got stabbed. Because, you know, you can't say he's speaking the truth. You offend people like all that, right. You know.
But I want to ask you a question, Hatem, before. And actually, Kurt might have some insight into this too, being raised Jehovah's Witness or whatever it was.
Yeah.
My theory is that that you can kind of condition a human to have a full-on, visceral, horrible reaction to anything, you know. So in the Arab world, I know people freak out if you put a shoe next to somebody's face like this. You'll kill somebody for that, right? And the reaction, if you could get their vital signs on a medical apparatus, you would see the reaction is fully visceral. Everything is activated, but it's a conditioned response. And I think that this is the case with everybody who is offended, and we make a big mistake by making any allowance for the fact that anybody's offended by anything, because there's no limiting principle to that. And I think this, you know, just to personalize it, one of the reasons I'm able to have friends, and I mean really friends with people who have such vehemently different views than I have, is because I don't really give a shit what they say. You know, like, so I don't let, if I really were to start being offended, how could you have friends like
that? But I didn't say I was offended.
So here's my question. But here's my question to you as a Muslim. How do you feel about that? Him being able to say these things? Being raised?
No, I mean, I'm definitely, you know, open for people can say whatever they want to say. And, you know, you have the right to respond to them, you know. And I think it's okay and it should be a conversation. I have no problem with that. What my problem is when stupid politicians, kind of like what Andrew Yang did in the election, say some comments, try to win something, and then in that aspect, you lose a lot of people. You given ideas to people. Me as a Muslim, I know that I'm not offended, but I know that some people will try to be offended because of that. You know, so
but you didn't come off the boat, as it were. I know it wasn't a boat, to America feeling that way, right? You had to grow into that.
No, thing. I felt this way, you know, coming from there. Yeah, I was trained very well to hide my. No, I don't think it's
I don't know what the guy said. So what governor? He said
it's
what?
It's a girl here. The governor said that, we are remain too firm to commit to freedom, especially somebody who speak and write the truth. She called him that
he wrote a fictional, a novel is fiction. He wrote.
Yeah, he didn't write the truth. That's another thing. Yeah.
Like he's in trouble because in his novel, he called somebody a bastard, right? I don't want to say the prophet, but somebody, but it was like a character saying it.
He's kind of took the story of the prophet and the whole Islam and did it into a fiction. We'll put with same names and stuff like that. And call satanic verses, which obviously offenses some people.
Like what Quentin Tarantino did about, in Inglourious Basterds and Hollywood.
Yeah.
He did it when he fixed Django in it. Yeah. So that's not really speaking. So the governor's a moron.
That's exactly my point. I'm not trying to find,
but the governor has no idea what Salman Rushdie said. Exactly. By the way, who's stabbing Salman Rushdie now? Wow, you've been sitting on that anger for a while. Can you still collect a reward? I think the guy's dead.
The prophet Muhammad said better late than never, didn't he?
No. Don't say that.
Please. God forbid anybody thinks I'm making light of this horrible thing. I've been bothered.
You could get stabbed 20 years from now.
I don't know why.
Let me just be clear. I want everybody to be very clear. Forgive me for such dark humor. I am very, very, very disturbed by Salman Rushdie being stabbed. Very disturbed by it.
And anybody being stabbed or attacked for something that they say. But I'm also disturbed about a governor who can make dumb remarks like this. Anyway, we move. We're going to talk about Trump later, but there's another one.
Hatem, but it's not about the governor. There's so much more here to this. It's about the double standard on free speech and how, the left will line up with ambivalence about Charlie Hebdo and the remarks of Salman Rushdie and all these things, but they'll have no problem with what's her name holding Donald Trump's head and on a banner, or burning it in effigy or saying it or the better example is the Piss Christ, right?
I remember Piss Christ.
What's the name?
Pissed off a lot of Christians. Mapplethorpe.
Yeah. So they'll put Jesus in a thing of urine. Or they'll depict Jesus with feces in a museum and the left.
No, that was Mary, elephant dung Mary.
Mary, yeah. And they'll be outraged at how Christians can be offended by this and then turn right around and say, you really shouldn't say these things about the Muslims. It's very offensive to them. That's the ultimate hypocrisy of it all, right? And it's real.
Wait, what did Max tell us, Jimmy, about remember the Draw Muhammad thing and these guys were going to shoot it up and then they got caught? So whoever it was that had the thing to draw Muhammad, the FBI found a couple of wing nuts and drew up the plan. This is how they always do. They drew up the plans for him to go do this and said, yeah, now go do it, and made sure they were going to do it, then followed them so they could make a big show of arresting them. Like all these fights are like nonsense things. I mean, they're so like, especially like the Muslim versus Christian thing. That's like so fucking Obama years of a fight. Right now, ISIS is our last hope against intersectional feminism. That's my personal feeling. I don't know if Jimmy agrees with that, but we're over here fighting over what is a woman. These beautiful people have a wearable pronoun, a simple wearable pronoun that everybody is so smug about. And you don't hear them going, oh, who's a woman? It's the one under the burqa. Well, what does she have? A penis? I don't know. I'm not her husband. That's fucking cheating. That's what we could have had from the prophet. Instead, we're sitting here like idiots. What is a woman? What is a recession and a woman? Those are my two questions in life now.
Well, it's certainly it's certainly not a set of tits, because I know a lot of dudes with a great set of tits.
Yeah,
I'm looking at you, looking at you, Andrew Cuomo.
He's got nipples.
Let's move to the next one. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about Trump at the end, but this is another one with, you know, it's kind of like also like it was very interesting to me. So they signed the Holocaust education, meaningful education, into a bill here in New York. She did, but the survey that they did in New York here, they said that 60% of New Yorkers did not know like simple facts, like that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, or they couldn't name any concentration camp, you know, anything like that. Okay.
I doubt they could point out a state or a, yeah. Like, never mind, no, the Holocaust.
On the other
I don't know how to count to 6 million.
On the other hand, this article is a while ago, like about 9 months ago.
Wait, opposing Texas views of the Holocaust? I never saw that.
Yeah, no, The Guardian says the Texas schools are being told to teach opposite views of the Holocaust. No. So
what's opposing view? That there's not a Holocaust? Was not one?
I don't know.
Hey, by the way, did you ever hear that story about Walter Matthau and his wife when they went to visit Auschwitz?
No.
So in the morning, they're taking a vacation and they're going to go visit Auschwitz, right? And in the morning, they get in a fight at the hotel. And so all the whole time they're at Auschwitz, she's not talking. They're not talking to each other, right? So in the car on the way back to the hotel, his wife turns to him and says, "You know, you really ruined Auschwitz."
I remember that. No, remember somebody stole it?
Yeah, no. How do you feel about that? Like they signed a bill to Holocaust education, and a lot of people were like, "Why?"
Listen,
Hatem, and
then I know we don't have a high budget here. Right? I just think that when you're going to bring something like this up, you just got to spring for the paywall. It's because I don't know what the fuck that means. I can't, you know, like, just because there's some headline opposing you to the Holocaust.
Good point, by Noam.
I'm not ready to comment on it. I don't think Texas is denying the Holocaust.
I didn't say Texas. I'm saying New York, like, signing a law for education, you know, education for the Holocaust. What I'm saying is, like,
it's called Whoopi's Law.
When my point is, like, when they did the survey, they found out that a lot of New Yorkers don't even know simple facts. So, being a Jewish, how do you feel about that? Like,
I mean, first
that
of all,
the next generation don't even know anything about the Holocaust. This low
percentage of citizens who know this particular is such an old saw already. Been hearing this for 30, 40 years. There's always some people don't know anything. New York is filled with a lot of immigrants now, fewer and fewer Jews, and they weren't raised on a steady diet of the History Channel and, you know, the Holocaust, and they don't know about the Holocaust. I didn't know that much about the Armenian Holocaust when I was older. I mean, I'm not happy they don't know about it, but what are you going to do? You know?
They can't read. Do you understand? New York has terrible schools.
You know, I don't understand. Like, I always learn about the Holocaust. I went to the library. I like to read. I went to the fiction section and I picked a book about that. Nothing.
I thought you were. I think you're going to say you had an Egyptian celebration every year.
No. It's crazy.
People don't know in my own household. There are people who don't know a lot of basic facts. Okay. It's just that's just the whole thing.
I like how you whispered that one.
I'm just saying.
They're called Puerto Ricans.
Thanks, Kurt. Thanks a lot.
People need the context.
I don't know what that means.
But it's true. So my wife's Puerto Rican, you know, and she doesn't know a lot of stuff that I know. And like, I don't know about stuff that she knows. When my father was alive, she came back from like, one of the streets of Lower East Side where they sell leather jackets and like Delancey Street. And she says to my father, "Manny, I got this jacket for $80. I Jewed him down."
And your dad said, "Marry that girl."
and my father said, "Did you say Jewed him down?" He said, "Yeah, Manny, I Jewed him down. I got another $80. And my father laughed because she didn't know any better, you know? She'd heard that her whole life, and she threw him down. So what are you going to do? She didn't mean anything by it.
Do you know in China, Noam, they – oh, sorry, go ahead, Jimmy.
Oh, no. Can I tell you a true story? When I first, you know, I grew up, I didn't really meet any Jews on the south side of Chicago. And when I got into comedy, of course, you meet a lot of them. And when I was in Los Angeles in 1995, I was talking with Andy Kindler, and he had a friend. We went to lunch, and he had a friend with him. I said, "What's his name?" He says, "Steve Rosenthal." And I said, "Wow, he's Jewish. He doesn't even look Jewish," which I know now you're not supposed to say that, right? And he got mad. He goes, "What does a Jew look like to you?" I said, "I don't know. I live in a Hasidic neighborhood now, and they're always wearing the disguise."
Okay. Did he really say that? What's a Jew supposed to look like?
According to my joke.
Yeah. Because people will say stuff like that. And I said, "Go fuck yourself. Everybody knows what you're talking about." You know, like, it's like, come on now. Go ahead. Anyway.
Yeah, you got to be over that shit.
Olivia Newton-John was Jewish. Did you know that? I just found that out this morning. Now, she did not look Jewish.
She's finally been exposed.
I just thought she hated paying full price.
Matt, no, did you mean that when she came to the
saying they called,
she was so nice.
Wait, did they call, are you saying they called Jesus the King of the Jews as kind of like an insult because he like wouldn't throw it on the tip? The King of the Jews over here.
The King of the Jews, I know, fellas, is Seinfeld. Seinfeld is the King of the Jews.
Take it easy, fellas.
they signed a bill that we can give opposing viewpoints.
And I'd like to say thank you for our sponsor, Al Jazeera. Thank you so much.
But Kurt, we skipped over it, but did you have any insight, having come from a similar background in a way to a religious fundamental?
Well,
we thought
Jehovah's Witnesses think that they're like the closest thing to like Jews, really, because of how the way you read the Bible is like this: you read the story, and then at the end, the story continues with you. Like, so it was a real, you know, when I was dating Karen, because she speaks Hebrew, it was hilarious. I didn't know that I didn't know how to pronounce any of the Bible words. Yeah. Like, I didn't know how to pronounce any of them. Every single one was wrong that I've known. That way, all of them were like some kind of like real, like kind of noise. And like, that's when I realized, like, oh, this is like some other people's thing that we just are pretending we're a part of and we're not.
You know, the first time I realized that I understood like some of it was when I watching The Passion of the Christ, and they were talking the old, and they weren't translating that part.
Aramaic,
and it's like,
yeah,
Aramaic.
You know, I'll tell you what I thought was interesting, because her parents are Hebrew scholars, because Christian stuff is real focused around Jesus dying and like for your sins and all that. Like, it's real focused around that sacrifice. And what I noticed about Judaism, which I found interesting, was it's a lot more about the law. So that's why there's all these interesting writings and stuff, because that's probably why you see Jewish lawyers if they're because the whole religion's based around figuring out the law around this, I don't know, volcano god or whatever. And you gotta like we couldn't have a blood transfusion even if we're gonna die. That was Jehovah's Witness rule. And she was like, Jews don't say that. They're like, life's more important than dying for some stupid thing, which sounds ironically more of a Jesus thing to say. You know, like, and it's because it's going around the law, like, okay, what does the law exactly say and how we can make this still work? So, yeah. Of course, they're going to find all kinds of things like loopholes. And like, I always thought that was very interesting, I guess.
You know, when you say stuff like that, it just reminds me also of like when people say there's a fatwa in Salman Rushdie. They don't know that the one that did that is fucking crazy Khomeini. It's not like everyone there is like, hey,
is
she
even a Muslim?
Yeah, he is Muslim, but he's, you know, but he's radical, obviously. But it's not like, it makes it sound like, oh, the whole Middle East want to kill him, which not the whole Middle East.
So. I think that's great. That dude's been walking around showing up on TV shows for the last, like, since exactly. I was a kid and heard about it. So it's bizarre that now, does somebody go, hey, that's him. I'm going to get he just had his stabbing knife handy. And like, it's just weird. It's a weird story.
He was mentally ill, guys. Come on, the guy that stabbed
him. Yes,
he might have been.
And so was he. And so was he egged on, or was he coached, and was he, you know, prodded to do this by?
You know what's interesting is we don't know nothing about it so far. Do you know?
Yeah,
you
I know. I'm just saying.
And they caught him, and the person was off duty cop that was there. You know, so we don't know.
The cops took a break from catching people for tweets to go look into it in England.
Listen, I'm not going to get into it with Jimmy because I can't prove a negative. But Hatem, are you open to the idea that the FBI was involved in stabbing?
No, not really. The FBI. You think the FBI was involved in Stanley? I don't think the FBI. Why would they? It was in England, wasn't it? Or am I wrong?
No, it's in New York.
No, it was in New York.
It was in New York.
Oh, no shit.
No, I, you know, from the people, there are some fanatic that lives here, like in Jersey and like everywhere, like just like
yeah. the ones celebrating a night. Who are the ones celebrating 9/11 on the rooftops in Jersey? Those people.
No. It was the rooftop at the Olive Tree, I think. No.
Oh, it was the Olive Tree.
It was the entire kitchen staff of the Olive Tree.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So anyway, let's move to the next one. First of all, good for Jon Stewart. You know, he finally got the recognition he deserved. I mean, he's, you know, Biden's speech about him. I usually don't like Biden's speeches, but, you know, praising Jon Stewart for all the work he's done is amazing. But anyway, the Inflation Reduction Act, which I don't know why they call it that, but whatever. You know, because, you know, to make it
because that's
good.
How that works. You say the opposite. Yeah.
The reason why they called it that was because Manchin could not be seen voting for something that was supposed to be fighting climate change, right? So they call it the Inflation Reduction Act. So that gave him cover to vote for it and for with his constituency.
So they're just taking the people like they're stupid, like we're just going to call it that. It's crazy to me, yeah. You know?
Well, they do it right out in the open. As Chris Hedges says, they lie, steat, and cheat, and they do it right out in the open now. And they've been doing that right out in the open for fucking at least 15 years.
So what's the problem with the Inflation Reduction Act that I'm not up on it?
No, so one of the things that I want to talk about is there's a huge budget for the IRS, okay, for hiring they say 80,000 agents. So the Republicans say that it will result in more middle class getting audited. And Biden say, no, we're actually going to go after the big ones, you know, because the last few years, a lot of people cheated and they think that they can get a lot of money out of it. So who do you guys think they're actually going to go for? The middle class?
Let me say, I did read something about that. There's an article in the National Review. I forget who wrote it, but anybody could find it pretty easily.
I got to grab something right back.
Where they did the math and they calculated how much money was going into this program and how much money it would have to, you know, return in audits. And how much that would have to be for everybody in the top 1%. And it shows that it's impossible. There's no way that this could be anywhere nearly cost effective without reaching way down into the middle class in audits. Not possible. And the math seemed pretty convincing. I'm not an expert, but I mean, you're talking about billions of dollars.
And another thing I heard, I think it was Fox News.
Go ahead. Finish. I want to say, so just on the topic of audits, first of all, there's not much cash in the economy anymore. Audits used to be where you would catch cash businesses, people hiding cash. There's really no more cash anywhere. Nobody pays with cash anymore. So audits are about, I believe, from finding people who've taken business deductions for personal items. I wrote off this dinner. I wrote off, you know, too much of my home office, whatever it is. First of all, it's very hard to prove these things. And second of all, these are not going to be huge things. They're going to get somebody to have some penalties and interest. It used to be people would be hiding millions of dollars in cash. The owner of some restaurant, I think it was Stu Leonard's, one of these famous restaurants, had whole registers which were detached from the rest of the POS system. So he'd just be taking in tens of thousands of dollars a day and putting it under his mattress. When you catch that, then you have a big thing. And this was common in business. So I'm skeptical about these audits. Number one. Number two, I think, and I know Jimmy will agree with me, I think it should be a rule that anytime the government comes at you and causes you to spend money to defend yourself, and they do it improperly, meaning they don't catch you, they should pay your fucking expenses.
100%.
The idea that somebody's going to come at you, criminal audit, whatever it is, turn you upside down, cost you 30 grand in fees, and they say, oh, you know what, Mr. Dorman, you're right. You don't owe anything. Or you owe, you know, they always find something. You owe $500. Sorry, we cost you $29,500. That's a fucking outrage in a free country. If you want to come at somebody, you should pay their bill if it was wrong, because it's not that different than a search warrant. But in a search warrant, you have to have probable cause. Here, they just do it at fucking random, and they turn your life upside down. And it's scary, and it's expensive, and I'm very much against it. And that's not, I know people say, oh, that's because he's afraid to get it audited. Yeah, I don't want to be audited, but that's not the reason. I've always felt this way. Go ahead, Jimmy.
So do you think it's going to go with the higher or the lower?
It's going to go both. Jimmy, go ahead. Okay.
I think that it's definitely, when was this ever discussed? Hey, was this part of Joe Biden's platform? I'm going to hire 87,000 more IRS agents to go fuck with everybody. I mean, we haven't had a discussion about this. Like, I don't understand how this gets done. This is crazy to me that this is just happening. Kurt, bring that closer to the mic.
Sorry.
It gets done. But you're probably responsible for it.
What's that?
You're probably responsible for it. You and your kind are probably responsible for it. With all due respect.
I didn't vote for Joe Biden.
No, I'll tell you why I'm being, you know, I'm being. Go ahead, finish.
I just want to say I agree with everything you said, though.
Yeah. The reason
Jeremy, you think they're going to go down or up?
Hold on. The reason tweeting you or poking you about this is because the wealth inequality mindset, and I'm not disputing wealth inequality, has softened the ground for people to say, yeah, let's go after these people. They're not paying their fucking taxes. Let's go after them. They're all hiding money. And it's made it very easy now to just put this down the throats of America because they think, and you're right, without discussion, they think, oh, this is going to go against these super wealthy people who've been holding out on us. But the reality is going to be, I fear, something different. I think it's
going to be. It ain't a matter of holding out on us. All the people at the tippy top conspire to keep you from ever getting, it's no capitalist anything. You're supposed to be in feudalism. They're going to run, six companies are going to run everything, and they're going to tell you what you can say, and they're going to work with the government to do it, to tell you what you can say.
But the fact on is, you, yeah. Kurt, the richer you are, the more your accountants know exactly what to do in terms of your taxes. So that an audit will not be very expensive.
That's how it's going to shake out.
It ain't going to hurt the ultra rich. That's how it will shake out. Sure.
That's my question, because, you know, they were saying that the rich have lawyers and accountants that can make it happen. And if they get audited, they have lawyers and accountants. They can afford them.
And they're donors. They donate to these people. So they're not going to burn their donors.
My question is, who's going to get hurt from this more? Middle class people?
Small business owners. So let me just tell you.
Small business.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm not defending what I'm about to say, but I'm going to tell you that it's true. When there was cash in the economy, small business owners, when they would get in trouble, would hide the cash. They would use that as a safety valve to lower their sales tax or whatever it is, at penalty of law, or having to pay people off the books because they couldn't compete with a big corporation in wages, so they'd have to pay somebody off, whatever it is. So small businesses that were always fighting for their survival were always a huge vulnerability to tax audits, always. I know this from experience, and as I've become more and more successful, and as the seller has made more and more money, the first thing I was able to buy for myself is exactly what we're talking about now. Everything is perfectly squeaky clean to the penny, because I don't ever want to live in any stress of these kind of high pressure situations where I'm forced to make maybe risky compromises, or where, you know, your accountant gives you a theory as to why this might be okay, but you're never quite sure how the IRS would feel about it if they find it. And if they find it, there could be penalties and hopefully it won't be criminal, blah, blah, blah. So the people who are really going to get killed by this are small business people who are not doing this because they're getting rich, are doing it because it's very, very difficult to stay afloat when you have a small business. Very, very difficult. That's what I think.
Especially here in Los Angeles, but I'll tell you that, to run a small business in California is crazy. I understand why people want to leave the state. If you run a small business, it is nuts what they do to you. And exactly right. I mean, it's going to come down. They did a controlled demolition over COVID and the lockdowns. That was, in my opinion, that was a controlled demolition on our economy. And it and most of us got poorer because of it, except for the ultra wealthy people like Jeff. Why was it? I've always asked this question. Why was it during the lockdowns I couldn't go to my corner store, sporting goods store, and buy a catcher's mitt where there's one guy working in it and maybe one other person walking around? But I can order it from Amazon where there's 1,000 people inside one big fulfillment center, and then it gets shipped through UPS where there's another 1,000 people inside another. So that never made sense to me. If this was about somehow trying to stop the spread, you're not doing it. Why is Jeff Bezos allowed to have his business tripled, and but everybody else has to shut down? So I forget, but yes, of course, whatever this is about, crushing small business. And again, I don't mean to be too conspiratorial, but what the WEF is doing is trying to crush small business. It seems
What's WEF?
The World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab, the Great Reset.
They brought us Greta Thunberg. Do you don't remember Greta Thunberg? Swedish girl, a little bit slow.
I don't understand why
never grows for some reason.
So Jimmy, I want to tell you. Wait, let me say. So you know, I was very to the left. I was very to the left of Jimmy on COVID, and I supported the lockdowns based on what I knew at the time. But I think that you've turned out to be right. Maybe lucky, but right. And I read an article in Bloomberg which compared California's outcome to Florida's outcome. You know, Gavin Newsom was much less strict. And not only if you look just on paper, Florida looks to have done a little bit worse than California, but not significantly. However, when you control for the high age of the population in Florida, which has the most people over 80, the California did much worse than Florida, much worse.
Yes.
Being a guy who responds to facts, I have to admit, to the extent that that article is correct, and Bloomberg is not a right-wing outfit, that it looks like you were right, that the lockdowns were much stricter and much less precise than they could have been, much stricter than they needed to be and much less precise than they could have been.
Well, what they're now even admitting, and I've showed this clip on my show, and it blows people's minds, that Bill Gates is now admitting that they didn't know. He's pretending now that they didn't know that COVID-19 has the low fatality rate, and that it's a disease that affects mostly the elderly, a lot like the flu, but a little different. That's a quote. That's a direct verbatim quote from Bill Gates. He said it on stage in front of cameras. Yeah. So if I would have said that a year ago on YouTube, they would have taken my channel down. But that was pretty much what the Barrington Declaration was. And by the way, Fauci and the guy Collins at the NIH, they got their people to write smear articles on the guys who came up with the Barrington Declaration, and they made them sound like kooks. But what they had was the right idea. And of course, it didn't line up with Big Pharma's agenda. And so they smeared them in the press, just like they smeared Joe Rogan and anybody else that goes, or Bill Maher, whoever goes against the establishment, they're going to smear. And that's what that was. So I appreciate you coming. I appreciate that you can look at the facts and you're a man of the facts and you changed your opinion on it. And so my hat's off to you.
I just appreciate how invading Ukraine somehow cured COVID. That's the thing that I'm thankful for. I wouldn't have thought that was the cure, but here we are. Three shots and two COVIDs later. How many people got COVID two or three times and had three shots? Because I know a few.
I ain't saying their vaccine don't work, but we all got vaccinated and we all got COVID. So just imagine if we all got the polio vaccine and in the same year we all got polio.
Okay, I think the facts do show that the vaccines have kept a lot of people from dying. I'm not ready to give up that
one. I guess we'll know in 75 years when they unseal those numbers, huh? I guess we'll have to wait for 75 years. Nothing suspicious about that. Kennedy, and then 15 years later, we'll know about if the vaccine works.
Well, COVID killed Kennedy.
This past fall into New Year's, when Omicron hit New York and everybody had it, the fatality rates didn't really climb very much. And I think that's because of the vaccines.
Yeah.
I agree.
Mutated into being a less deadly, more contagious virus, like all viruses do, and it was predicted on my show a year and a half ago by Dr. Robert Malone, who invented the mRNA vaccine technology, no matter what they tell you on CNN. And so somehow we all had this information, and all the guys who were the frontline doctors, they all knew this. This information was out there, and now they're coming out with anyway, I don't want to get into it.
I'm not with you on all that, Jimmy. I am with you. Yeah. I am with you on the necessity of the lockdowns. I don't blame the medical establishment so much because their job is not to weigh economics or whatever. I mean, you know, they're going to err on the side of keeping people safe. But the politicians.
No, they aren't. I was hooked on OxyContin that the FDA said was safe to take. No, they will err on the side of the companies that make the drugs that own them. You know, they pay for all the FDA funding. Right. And, you know, the people resigned from the vaccine department.
Fair enough. But you know what I'm saying? The politicians have to take what the doctors tell them in terms of risk, and they have to weigh it against the cost. And, you know,
and then you have to weigh if it'll help Trump get reelected. So you suppress certain stuff till after. There's a lot of factors they have to worry about in this.
But I think
they care about us so much.
The vaccine does work because even in the older people, which we knew that, you know, the rates are better. So, and I was in the front lines. Nobody say thank you for your service. Okay. I was in the front lines of COVID. So I kind of know the vaccine kind of like.
What? What were you doing?
I was sick. that counts as a front line, right?
I would say it does. Yes.
Now look,
I was right there.
Jimmy's right to some extent, or could be. There are so many moving parts. There's a mutating virus. There's a vaccine. There's natural immunity, which people have, which we don't talk about. There's the fact that the weakest among us have already died. There's all, and it takes quite a mind to be able to unravel all those things and give a solid piece of advice based on it.
Well, then you got to suppress that mind.
Right. So what happens?
That's even more work.
So what happens is the medical establishment says, listen, this is too complex. Nobody can tell you with actual sureness what's going on here. So we recommend stay home because that's, we think, is, but even that turned out not to be a way not to catch the virus. But that was their thinking.
But no, that would be, it would be one thing if they want to, if that was their feeling, honest feeling that they got from whatever kind of science they can come up with. And then they had a debate about it with other people who had differing opinions inside the field, which the people who had the different ideas were people, they weren't kooks. They were people from Stanford and Harvard and Yale. Instead of debating them, what they did was they had their toadies in the media write hit pieces to smear those people instead of having an honest debate. And so it wasn't the medical establishment, I don't think, in my opinion, it wasn't them erring on the side of caution. It was exactly what Kurt said. It was them erring on the side of their donor class, which is the big pharma, because I can prove to you, which I've done on my show, that Fauci and the establishment, they not only laughed about the virus, where it came from, but they smeared anybody who told you the truth about where it came from, a Wuhan lab. Then they lied about funding it. They lied about even if it was gain of function. And how do I know all that? Because the NIH admitted that Fauci was lying about it. And then Fauci lied about it right in front of Congress. He also lied about masks. He also lied about herd immunity. He also lied about natural immunity. And they also lied about ivermectin. Why did they lie about ivermectin? To make it seem like a horse poison instead of a Nobel Prize winning medicine for humans. Because it might, on the outside chance that ivermectin could treat COVID, they wouldn't get their emergency use authorization for the vaccines, and they would lose hundreds of billions of dollars. And what is a couple of hundred of billions of dollars get you? That's enough money to buy everybody in the media and to buy everybody in the government. And that's exactly what happened. And so we've been lied to over and over and over. And now the CDC is now coming around to the same point of view as the declaration. And so these aren't honest mistakes. And they're not trying, when what Andrew Cuomo did was not an honest mistake, but them undercounting and putting those people back into those old folks homes. And so this is, and by the way, how come we don't have one more ICU bed? Here we are almost 3 years later and we don't have one more fucking ICU bed. I'll tell you why. Because ICU beds don't make money for the investor class, that the hedge funds that now run and staff our hospitals. But you know what does? Vaccines are very profitable. So that's why those can be mandated, but they can't mandate another ICU bed, but they can take $54 billion and send it to the most corrupt country in Europe without any strings or any word, knowing how it's going to be spent, with only 30% of those weapons even ending up on the front lines for being sold. So it's more corrupt than you could ever believe, and it's going to be coming out more and more. Fauci should be in prison. They invented that virus. We now know that because the chairman of the Lancet study group on COVID, Jeffrey Sachs, has said that on television, that it came from a U.S. bio lab. So that means Fauci funded it. They did it. They went around Barack Obama's canceling that kind of research. They invented this virus that killed millions and millions of people. Why aren't they in prison? And what do you call it when they invent a problem, which they did, and then they sell you the solution for hundreds of billions of dollars? Okay. That's called a scam.
Okay, so let me just say, I'm not going to get into everything you said. You started by talking about the fact that they suppressed debate. That is true, and I agree with you 1,000%. As the whole litany of other things you said, I have some sympathy for some of them. Some of them I outright reject. I'm not going to go into them. I would only say that many other countries in the world where these incentives that you described don't exist also opted for certain and sometimes stricter lockdowns and stricter behavior than we did. And finally, I'm just happy that you're into all these things without mentioning Israel.
Yeah, and one more thing, and then we're gonna move.
I'm so used to that kind of thing ending with the Jews in some way.
Aren't they the only ones that did the studies?
after they went for 10 minutes, I was gonna say, oh, I forgot to press record, but listen. Also, I think. I think there is also a fact that a lot of people didn't know. I don't know if they lied. Like Norm said, because we need to go talk about Trump. Maybe they just didn't know, and they were examined differently, because this is new to all of us. You know, we see people.
Some people,
like,
yes, countries, of course.
Yeah, and countries like Holland.
Not at the top.
Open.
Not at the top.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, everybody, yeah.
Everybody doesn't know. Like, who would know about this shit? But people at the top knew all kinds of shit, and the whole bottom line is, just do the thing we say. Like my girlfriend, for example, can't take any vaccine. She'll have an allergic fucking reaction. Okay. Yeah. So she can't, she couldn't walk onto a lot to manage her. Like, she couldn't walk onto a lot in Hollywood without fucking three or four shots. That's outrageous. Yeah. So was she supposed to just get sick because it makes some fucking dipshit Democrat feel better that it fights Trump? So that's the message. If you got hurt, if you're one of the small, not most people, one of the small amount of people, fuck you. Don't talk about it. Well, that's fuck right. You don't talk about it.
I was told not to talk about it. People told me not to talk about it because it would make other people vaccine hesitant.
And like my dumb religion.
That's why I'm fucking doing it. So people can make up their own mind, so they realize that they've been fucking lied to and that they're hiding the data for 75 years. Why the fuck would they do that? Of course. And then we found out they were lying about natural immunity. They knew about it all along, and their own vaccine trials showed that natural immunity was real, and they fucking suppressed it.
Everybody knew that for years. I had
forever.
Friends of mine. A friend of mine goes, if I hear one more person say natural immunity, I'm like, what are you, fucking stupid? We all knew natural immunity was a thing my whole life, and all of a sudden...
Until COVID. And then
there's no such thing as it. And all the people I know that got it and didn't get a shot are fine.
That's right.
They had it. So that's called that. That's better than the shot, which you could look up if you don't believe me.
Now,
they say that.
I'm curious to you guys. Do you guys believe there's such a thing as long COVID?
Yes. Yes, I do. In fact, I was in a study when I got vaccine injured. This guy was running a study, these doctors, to try to treat long COVID. And they discovered that people like me presented biologically as the same as people with long COVID. So they treated me as if I had long COVID because I presented with those same symptoms, except I got it from the vaccine. I had never had COVID before then. So yes, I think long COVID is a real thing. I don't think they understand what it is yet. They don't. They admit they don't. Or what the mechanisms are, what the markers are, all they can. And so I think that's a real thing. Yes.
All right. So that's another reason the medical community has to be to treat this seriously. All right. I'm going to have to go. You guys are the best guests ever. I'd like to say, you know,
hold on. I want to get your opinion on Trump and then go.
Okay. Let me say, I'll stay for that. So, you know, I'm feeling bad about that joke I made about Salman Rushdie. And, you know, when Joe Rogan got in trouble for making his joke about Planet of the Apes, I would tell people that, you know, when you're in small groups of people, it's not unusual, especially among comedians, to make outrageous jokes because everybody understands each other, you know, and it's easy when you have a live mic after a while to forget that you're on a live mic talking to tens of thousands of people. And so you say things and you're so that's what that was. I know the reason I'm sensitive is because I know people. I know two people who know Salman Rushdie personally who are really suffering right now, personal stress to see that he's okay. So I would, you know, I would never make a joke like that to be said, but it's, you know, it's a joke. That's all. So go ahead.
And the whole issue is not even with Salman Rushdie. Of course, all of us don't want to see anybody get hurt, anybody, you know, but it was with the comment of the governor and being positive. Yeah. All right. So yeah, let's go to the final and important one. And I really want to get your opinion about that. So the Trump and the whole thing with the FBI. Now the left say, So we have two sides. One say that they've been trying. It's just another shakedown. They're trying to get Trump like they've been trying for 7 years. And then Democrats say no one is above the law. Where you guys stand? Let's go with Noam.
Well, I think that the first of all, we don't know enough for anybody to have a real opinion. I'm skeptical. Okay. Just in no particular order. I'm skeptical when they throw the word nuclear. Like, what is Trump hiding nuclear?
It's a plan. That's bullshit. It's
now,
nonsense.
Now, and then the thing is this, like anything, any document that he has, he can just take a picture of it, right? Like, why is he holding on to the originals? Like,
do you know the penalties?
They have a spy camera, a little Leica spy camera, you know, chick, 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 chick. So the idea that he's holding on to these originals just at the risk of going to prison because he's up to no good, he could give them back and still keep a copy of them. So it's hard for me to believe that.
Exactly.
There's no question that they treated Hillary's emails differently, but but there could be facts that come out that I don't know, which would change my mind. And finally, Andrew McCarthy, also of National View, who's a former prosecutor, he's convinced and quite convincing that what they're doing here is using the pretext of a search on this archival stuff in order to hopefully get lucky and catch some stuff that will help in a possible January.
Yeah, clearly.
Clearly. Right.
So
which is the way law enforcement plays these games.
We're going to go with Jimmy and then Kurt, but I have like quick seven questions I want to ask you guys quickly. So let's make it quick. Ahead, Jimmy, what do you think?
So this is because just like Russiagate, which was I covered extensively on my show with Aaron Maté from The Nation, who won the Izzy Award for our coverage on, and I say our because he said he shared that award with me, on our coverage of Russiagate, which debunked it 100%. We showed it was an evidence-free conspiracy theory, which is why nobody went in jail. And that's what January 6th is, which is a show trial. And then this also, why are they doing this? It's because neither the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, which are so corrupt, they can't even take care of their own people, is that they can't beat a game show host at the ballot box. They know if Trump runs again, he will win the Republican nomination, most likely, and he will crush Joe Biden or whoever the Democrats put up. And they can't have that. And that's what this is all about. And so one of the things that they're trying to prosecute him with in this raid is would preclude him from ever running from public office again. And that is what this is about, 100%.
Kurt.
Every single thing we talked about, the whole, you know, they always handled shit fucked up for as long as I can remember, but something with Trump, somehow vaccines relate to Trump, even though he is mad he didn't get credit for them. Everything has become Trump. So you're supposed to forget about every other problem in your life.
That's right.
That you didn't get helped with. Joe Biden, by the way, reversed Trump's thing that made insulin affordable for people.
Yeah. Biden made that.
Remember Biden had this speech? Biden made that speech. He had the little diabetes kid stand up.
Yeah.
Well, why can't you just raise it 300% and not 8,000%? Trump had already made an order that those people, what is it called? 340B, where people it has to be affordable. So they purposely didn't implement it because they didn't like, and then Biden's making that speech knowing there's a thing that makes it affordable. He just rescinded it. Now, if you're on Medicare, you can get the insulin. Everybody else is fucked. And see, it kills two problems. One, now those people won't age enough to be on Medicare. So that solves that because they can't get insulin. And so I just heard of this now. I watched his speech. I'm like, oh, why don't they do some insulin? I'm like, wait, there was a thing but Trump made it. So fuck you and your insulin because Trump's bad.
No, go ahead.
Let me make one other argument. I'm not sure this is totally a good argument, but it's there's something to it, which is we know that the president has the right to declassify whatever he wants.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
So now he's still supposed to do it in a proper procedure. Nevertheless,
a computer in his bathroom, Hillary style.
Well,
like my grandma had.
No, but hold on. That's exactly the point, because no matter what you want to say about Hillary, she did not have the right to declassify this material. She was
right.
She was within that system. So in some way, now this is not a full fully exculpatory of Trump, but it has to be said in some way, if they get him on this, it's procedural. It's not that he couldn't take this stuff home.
Right.
It's simply that he didn't dot the I and cross the T.
Al Capone style. Al Capone.
So how bad an offense is it when somebody does something that they could have easily done, they just have to fill out the form?
Yeah. No, just read the potential legal liability, which is you're disqualified for ever running for president again. So that tells you what the whole thing is. The end goal is we could find something, hopefully disqualify this son of a bitch from running ever again.
All right, quick questions for all of you. Go ahead,
Jim. They can't disqualify, though. The Constitution has to say it.
Can I make a quick point is that there are war criminals like Dick Cheney and George Bush that are bona fide war criminals. So is Barack Obama, by the way. And they're walking around scot-free. Nobody's going to put them in jail, but we're going to go after Trump for taking some fucking papers. Are you kidding me? This is backfiring because 70% of the Republicans now are more apt to vote for Trump because of this.
Because the fact that the president can declassify these things, either the Congress, if they think this is a real problem, ought to write some kind of law that binds the president. I don't know if that's possible, but they could give it a try to do the right thing as well. Or admit that we're going to have to depend on the character and the integrity of the people that we elect president to treat the nation's secrets properly, because the president is the president. He can declassify whatever he wants.
And not to mention, he have all the information in his head. So if he wants to share,
You don't remember Chuck Schumer, his interview? I love it where he goes, the CIA has 6 ways to screw you. If you like, those motherfuckers are supposed to be working underneath the press. Why do you think people say things like deep state? You're right. He has a right to do any of that. The entire apparatus is like, we got to get this guy out of it. It's like when,
does have to have a proof that he did that. He needs to sign up some paperwork and stuff like that. So let me ask you guys quickly these things. Noam, do you think he got a momentum now? Do you think he can run and win now, even if he wasn't thinking?
I don't have an answer to that. The affidavit and the nature of the documents is going to come out. And then you can ask me, even if he had every right to do it, if Trump appears to have been very irresponsible in whatever he was doing, then I think that that's going to be harder for him. Huh?
But you can sell the point that this is all fake and they're trying to get him. So he can have a momentum between his fall. Jimmy, what do you think?
I think this is going to help Trump, no doubt about it. I think it's going to backfire on the establishment, and it is going to give him momentum. And but I think they're going to find a way to disqualify him from running. I think they will find that.
Kurt,
he probably could have. I mean, this is how shitty. In case you're wondering how shitty things are, here's what the race is going to be.
I wasn't. But
if Biden's alive, it'll be Trump Biden again, and I mean, just imagine that, like all the horse shit of the, that's how fucking low everything has sunk, that's what's going to be. And I didn't believe Biden would get, my girl's like, oh, it'll be Biden, it'll be the guy. I'm like, that idiot, really? He was wacky Uncle Joe when his brain still kind of worked. And she was right, because people don't know shit. They go, oh, he was the Obama grandpa, I like him. Is going to be, they don't have any other candidate that could even have a chance against Trump. Who would they get? Pete Buttigieg?
Kamala Harris. Jimmy, I don't think they can disqualify him from running. I think that would obviously be something that would have to, a question that would have to go immediately to the Supreme Court. And I do not think the Supreme Court is going to say that any congressional law can override the constitutional provision, which says what the requirements for president are. I mean, they can't change it. Constitution says 35. Congress can't change it to 40. I mean, it's in the, that's what I think. Especially this Supreme Court.
Next one. Do you guys think presidents are weaponizing the DOJ now?
Department of Justice? What?
Department of Justice. Every president has weaponized the Department of Justice.
They always do that. When have they not done that? Okay. Why are they there for, to accept to do that?
Okay.
That's the, the proper. Yeah? Yes, of course. 100%. Yes.
Norm?
Well, I didn't hear. I couldn't understand what you said.
President are weaponizing the Department of Justice now, every president?
I mean, the question is whether or not this just happens on its own because every single person in the administration is so partisan and is, you know, or it's happening by order or somewhere in between. I tend to think that Biden doesn't have to say a word. I mean, the hatred of Trump is so rampant. They do this without even knowing that they're doing it. I think it's human nature.
Okay, so some do, but people on top don't. People on top make big plans ahead of time for a long, like, but yeah, most people are the chumps that go, that follow this puppet show, of course.
Garland is being fucking skewered on Twitter every day by all the people whose respect he wants, and in the Atlantic, and at cocktail parties and restaurants, he's only human. So I'll do something. Maybe this will get them off my back. Yes. I'll do something, you know?
Yep.
So, yes.
Yeah. It's backfiring so bad that I'm watching people that love Trump say they think that he planned this all along. That's how bad this is backfiring.
Yeah.
I don't think he planned it all along.
I mean, this is the same reason prosecutors brought charges against Rittenhouse. You know, I mean, the political pressure is real without somebody telling you to do it.
And that's with full video. That I could tell that he was going to get acquitted. I knew before Jimmy even saw the video. Jimmy wasn't even talking about it. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be self-defense, clearly, because you could see the whole thing.
We have some of the top legal experts here in this show before, and they all say he's going to get acquitted, you know.
Because that guy Danny, who's a good guy.
And Danny is one of them.
Danny Zavallos, the only good man on MSNBC. He said it too, right?
There's a lot of them, yeah. You're going to find them in this show. If they're in this show and MSNBC, then they're good. If they have both in common. All right.
Danny is a pure lawyer.
Yeah. Sorry. Do you guys think that this is going to be a thing? They're going to go after presidents now? Ex-presidents?
Of course.
Oh, look, so it's going to be like the Middle East. Yay.
When Al Franken came to the Comedy Cellar, and I told him about the fact that they weren't giving out the restaurant relief money to white male restaurant owners, which is going on time. He couldn't believe it. He's like, they can't do it. Like he was, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it was clear.
They ran him out. He couldn't believe they're that crazy when they ran him out with bullshit.
But it clearly didn't sit right with him. But you know goddamn well, if he was in the Senate at the time that it happened, he would have voted for it.
Well, why do you think he got pushed out under bullshit reasons, and he went along with it? Like, that made me sad because I know that guy's done some good things. Like I know he has, and so that's how the, by the way, all these groups work. This, all of the major, all the people that aren't on board with whatever the faction is that's running the shit, you get run the fuck out. That's in entertainment. That's everywhere. They've been weeding out the people that have an issue with the fucking herd mentality. I mean, it's been going on for years. I don't know if you noticed. But now the people left are all the ones that are the true believers. So it's going to get worse and worse.
You know, so Jimmy, you think that's going to happen?
Wait. Go ahead. I want to say one thing. I got to go.
Ex-presidents?
This is no offense, but I'm about to say. So you guys are both open to a lot of conspiracy theories.
No, I'm not. I don't believe in any of them. I'm talking about shit that openly happens.
Okay.
None of them are conspiracies.
We debunk conspiracy theories at the show. We debunked Russiagate, which was the biggest conspiracy theory ever.
We're debunking
Ukraine. Go ahead.
And Eric Weinstein also is open to a lot of these things. And if you Google the person with the highest IQ in the world, he's some guy who lives in the Midwest who also believes in a lot of conspiracy theories. So I, and you guys are super bright, and I really enjoy talking to you. I don't agree with you on all this.
That guy? No.
Yeah.
He might not be, because I know that guy you're talking about. And yeah. I don't know, but his IQ test, he just took an IQ test from like a magazine or something, it turns out. And he says that, and they put him on TV.
Fair enough.
And he seems smart, but he may not be. I mean, those tests, I had one as a kid. It's like it has to be administered to you, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, but I just want to make, so in my experience, I meet a lot of super, super smart people like you guys, who believe stuff that I can't get there with you, but I respect your intelligence, you know, so I have some humility about it. It's just interesting to me. Like,
I don't have no beliefs. I have I saw it or I didn't see it, and then I maybe could like have a suspicion, but all I've been having is belief stripped of me for like most of my life. There ain't nothing that I emotionally, like, if someone showed, here's the thing, it's really suspicious. Like, if I'm wrong, I'm delighted to hear it. If you got some fact that I'm wrong, I'm not emotionally, I'm never doing that again. I was in a fucking church.
But can you prove anything these days? Is there facts? Is it even facts?
You could just, on Jimmy's show, here's the most like terrifying thing of Jimmy's show since I've been working on it, is especially stuff that I'm like, I don't know, Jimmy. Okay. It takes like a few months and then they're saying the same news that he just said. I can't believe how often this happens. And yes. All it is polite society has decided it's okay to talk about these facts now.
That's right.
No, but what I'm saying is like when you try to prove, when you say proven, like right now, you pretty much can prove anything. Both, like if you say a mask work or not, you're going to find experts that say yes, experts, you're going to have support documents say yes and support documents that say no. So what is fact anymore? You know, what is it?
Well, you got to work a little bit for it, but right now it's cloth masks don't work. It's still, as far as I know, official. And the one that really works is that N95, and everything else is like, if both of you have one, it's not that hard to find that out. What it is, once you get labeled a bad person, you're supposed to not listen to bad people. So let's say somebody has a fact, like we just gave a bunch of money to a bunch of fucking Nazis in Ukraine. You're supposed to ignore that fact that these same people telling you to ignore it were reporting 4 years ago, and they were going, boy, they got a real Nazi. This is mainstream. Okay.
I want to say something about the money going to Ukraine.
I just remember shit. That's all. Yeah. I just remember things people said. It's not even digging for evidence. They said one thing and all of a sudden it's a different thing. I'm supposed to just not remember it.
Yeah. But the money going to Ukraine is going to come back to us through Hunter Biden. So there's no real worry there. You know, it's going to just,
it probably went to Russia. Probably.
I don't know. Guys, I got to go because I have to take outside Steve into the city.
Tell Steve I said
no. Last question before you go. Did they have to go with Warren versus Sabina?
Did they have to go what?
With the warrant versus just the Sabina?
Did they have to? No, that was their choice.
Well, they had to try to catch something because if they gave him a Sabina, he could make sure everything's good. But they want to catch one little thing, whatever it is.
And then they put Sabina that bullshit nuclear story. Give everything up. So if he didn't, then it's a problem. But did they really have to go with Warren?
I mean, these guys, listen, you don't search the ex-president's house, especially given the current feelings in the country.
Right.
Unless you are sure you're going to catch him with something so serious and red-handed that people will say essentially, well, you had no choice. I mean, you really had no choice. Otherwise, they should just let it go and move on. You know, I mean, I lived through it when Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon. People like my father cursed him. But then as the years passed by, people realized, no, he did the right thing. The country needed to move on. And I can't believe we haven't moved on from Trump yet, right? It's like, this is crazy. They are going to exacerbate things and upset half the country. And we don't need this shit. You're burning down the house to get rid of the cockroaches. That's the only expression.
That's how much you don't matter to the people on top. Everybody is fodder. The people in Ukraine are cannon fodder for a shitty proxy war. We're cannon fodder for these stupid fucking... woman hearings and all that dumb shit. It's all, you don't matter. They don't give a shit about you. They're looking long term of, we need to be in power all the time. And at this future date, when we have all the power, we'll start doing good things. But in the meantime, just like healthcare, which is a fucking disaster. Everybody that's good that's got insurance, like, you don't need to do it. Even if they're going to get fucked by insurance at some point, it's fuck all these other people. We got all these fucking people living in tents here. That looks like it looks worse than the depression because at least they had tin shacks. They just got tents here.
Imagine they put Trump in jail. Is that going to be good for the country in some way?
It's going to be a civil war is my guess.
Yeah, no, it's going to be awful.
So this is the establishment doing more crude, as Chris Hedges predicted on my show. What censorship is the establishment losing control of the narrative. And so they have to use these crude forms of censorship and discreditation. And that's all this is. They can't stop Trumpism because the corruption is still present inside the establishment. And the problems that existed that made people vote for Trump in the first place are even worse now. So the reason why people didn't vote for Hillary Clinton and voted for Trump, like black people in Milwaukee, Milwaukee. That's what I'm talking about. It's because they voted for Barack Obama twice and their lives got worse. And they said so in the New York Times. So I'm not making this up. So people want to pretend that Trump invented racism. This country was built on racism. And we did, the same people who voted for Barack Obama twice were willing to take a chance on a con man who was a game show host, because that's how corrupt the government has become. There is no two parties. This idea that the Democrats and the Republican establishment are different is bullshit. The Republican establishment still hates Trump because they can't control him. And he governs just like them, but he's bad for the brand. Just like Kurt brought up before, he wants credit for the vaccines and they won't give it to him. Why? Because he's bad for the brand. He does everything that the establishment did, but he makes them look bad. And so they got to get rid of him. And that's all this is.
And the chutzpah,
people voted for it.
The chutzpah, you know, like the nerve, like they coming right off the fact that people like Adam Schiff told us, no, everything about the FISA warrants was on the up and up. And how dare you question the FBI? And it turned out to be Nunez was right. They were lying through the whole thing. Certainly Schiff knew about it. And yes. Here we are, like, you know, 2 hours later, like, how dare you question the FBI's warrants? Like, I mean, even I'm having to say, like, that's a ball. You got fucking balls.
Oh,
like,
balls. And those people, voted for Trump because he said, what do you have to lose? You know, and this is just so, it's true. We've been trying for years. What happened? Nothing. You know, like Jimmy said.
Now, look, if I were Merrick, I want to say this because I'm not, I don't want to sound like I'm on your side. If I were Merrick Garland and I felt there was something that had no choice, I would go on TV or I go on the press and say, listen, I want to say, I understand that the IG did a report and the FBI misbehaved or broke the law in its FISA warrants. I understand our credibility is taking a hit. I understand how serious it is to search an ex-president. However, I want to go before the American people now and tell you I have information in front of me and I feel like we have no choice but to do this. I understand why the country will be skeptical, but I will be, you eventually the facts will come out and you will see that I was right. And I hope that our credibility hasn't taken such a hit that you can no longer believe me. That's the,
can you imagine a cop saying that? Can you even imagine that?
But if he had done that, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, maybe.
He gets it. He's not pretending it didn't happen. And he's doing this reluctantly. And he's putting his credibility on the line. And I say, okay, you know what? I'm going to withhold judgment. He's tone deaf. He went for 3 days while people were saying he had nothing to do with it. He went for 3 days just keeping quiet until he had no choice but to say, yeah, I'm the one who told.
These are people who think you should say the term Latinx, even though every Latin person you know doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And they go, we don't like that. And they go, well, yeah, that's your name now anyway. They don't give a shit how anyone feels. This is protecting the top. And that's what the big offense was. And that's what, like, you know, especially in comedy, all the comics I know, who I know for a fact don't know shit about anything, who suddenly became like politically, yes, like Yaliza Traegers and shit, who are suddenly like, oh, this is unbelievable. Like, it's just all about your emotions and then, yes, your superficial characteristics. It's instead of a left where it's like for somebody who working people, it's not for them. They hate them. It's so that like a boutique thing, like rich people could feel like they're good and like leftist because they hate their dad or whatever the fuck they're getting out of it. Cause that doesn't cost any money. It's real easy, real cheap and easy. You know, like we used to have to throw all the black people into the volcanoes to sacrifice, but we could do it with most of the white people. Resources are dwindling, so we could do it with them. And so that's all, you could see it every day. It's not even a thing like a conspiracy. They do it in front of your fucking face.
Yeah, I got to go. I hope that it turns out that Trump did something so awful that.
Me too. I want this to work out. I know so many people that were hoping and I don't want them to be hurt again. They've been hurt so many times with the bullshit impeachment and the other nonsense things and the January 6th.
The walls are closing in.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, guys. You guys can continue. Bye. Nice to see you.
I got to go too. I got to go do a show actually.
So, there's a new feature in this show. After 1 hour, it automatically keeps the top three smartest people in the show and cut one of us, you know, so Noam just got cut now because, you know, he didn't make it. So,
it's the algorithm.
It's algorithm. Like the show is like, we don't need Noam. Enough with your bullshit. Okay. Here we go. So they cut it. now we're here. So, if this, my last question, and then we'll go, all of us, if this works out, like if everything is in check, what will happen to Trump and to the people? And if it didn't, what will happen to the supported people. Remember, there's an a former, I think, Marine that went to attack the FBI in I don't know which state, and they killed him, you know. So what would happen if everything is a fact, and you know if they found something in Trump's boxes? I think a lot of people will not believe that it's true, but what happened either way? Like, both.
Yeah, that's what I think will happen. A lot of people won't believe it.
So what would, what would be next?
You know, it seems like fodder for civil unrest.
Okay.
Followed by more like crackdown kind of, and then we'll be China.
Either
eventually.
Way, yeah. So unless he gets, unless he's innocent, this could be a big deal for the country.
Oh, even if he's innocent, because they could.
If he's innocent, it's going to be worse.
Believe me, these people aren't above doing that. They planted the entire Russiagate conspiracy theory. They lied to the thing. They invented to get warrants, and they did tap fucking Trump's phone illegally. And they made him sound like a crazy person for saying that, and when it was actually happening. And of course, that's how the establishment works. And then in those hearings, it came out that through the FBI text, they were all talking to each other about how they're going to keep Trump from being president. And now they fucking made shit up. And that's so, of course, the idea that we won't know if Trump is innocent or guilty, because we won't ever fucking know if the FBI planted shit or who knows what's going on. Those people, they start wars illegally. They're going to do this. They've been doing this out in the open for 5 years. They won't stop. Why? Because they're, again, neither of the parties are going to legislate that actually in a way that helps people's lives materially.
So what do you think would happen for regular people? Like, is it civil war? Is it, you know, going to be a lot of problems? And you need a leader?
Well, here's a good thing. Here's a positive. Because they're like people who think the FBI doesn't, even though historically, of course, they do. Like, well, there's like 300 something like Muslims that they probably set up with nonsense. You know, people that were just crazy that they send someone disreputable, more outsourcing. They get a guy that they catch and go find us, he's terrorists. Then this person is basically just an entrapment operation to make them look good and get funding while they miss the Boston Marathon bombers, for example. They missed out on that while they were setting up other people. But who's going to believe that? Who cared about Muslims? They attacked us, right? So now that they're doing it to Trump, the same people that would have never given a shit about that. And before Muslims, it was eco-terrorists that they would do this setup thing with. Like, they had some kid that they tricked. They got a girl to have sex with them, and they go, you should blow up a dam. And like, people, losers that would never do anything that they fucking set up to pop. Now people see how they work. So there's the positive thing. Trump is so objectionable that they're doing the tricks they would reserve for blacks and Muslims and shit on him. And all the people that didn't, would have never listened to you before, and now will listen. So that's the one good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So now finally people in the Republican Party see how corrupt the Justice Department can be, and how corrupt the FBI is, and what their actual job is of the FBI. The FBI there is to investigate dissidents and discredit and jail them. That's what they're really there to protect, the oligarchy and the establishment. We don't need the FBI. We don't need them. We could get rid of them just like we don't need the CIA. We could get rid of the FBI.
All right, well, guys, this was awesome. And if you want to become a smarter person and get things before it happens, listen to the Jimmy Dore show, or follow Kurt and Can't Get Right. Do you guys want to share your whatever coming up, or information, or shows?
I'm in Philly at Punchline this week. Philly 18th through 20th. Yeah, coming to Philly Punchline.
What about you, Jimmy?
Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Detroit. Detroit. Tulsa's already sold out, so go to Oklahoma City and Detroit. I hope to see you there.
All right. Excellent. Guys, thank you so much. Always great to see you. And we'll talk soon. Yep.